came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets, and calling unto their fellows, and saying, We have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous, and a winebibber, and a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. And then I just want us to turn over to Mark's Gospel, and just a couple of verses from Mark's Gospel and chapter 1, and just beginning at verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness, and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, and confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Pray, Lord, that you would speak to us this morning. Lord, we pray that you would bless us through the ministry of your word. We pray, Lord, that you encourage us, speak to us powerfully, we pray. I pray, Lord, that I would just merely be a vessel, that you would speak through. Oh, Lord, may I decrease and you, Lord, increase. Oh, Lord, may we see Jesus this morning. And may we have such a hunger for him. In Jesus' name, amen. Just as something by way of introduction on this, from these passages, we see John the Baptist making this cry to the people for repentance of sins. And this morning, there is that cry that comes forward again to get right with God, to make sure that you're right with God this morning. This morning, if you do not know the Lord Jesus, if you're not right with him, then there's that cry to you to turn to him and get right with him and have peace with him. That was the cry that came from John the Baptist, and that cry still echoes today, of confessing your sins, of confessing your sins to him and being made right with him. All through what the Lord Jesus has done for us, that's what we've been celebrating. We're taking the bread and the wine of what the Lord Jesus did in laying down his life for us. But here in this passage in Matthew, we see such a powerful message to us as the church. We see, first of all, that John the Baptist coming, and his ministry, and then we see the ministry of Jesus. And we see how John the Baptist prepares the way. He is a voice in the wilderness. He's one who's speaking into a dry place. He's speaking into a difficult situation. He's making this cry, prepare the way for the Lord. And there is that cry that comes, prepare. Move all the obstacles out of the way. Make a straight path that the Lord can come, the King of Kings, that he can come forward in all his power and in his glory. And the Lord, we have that picture of the Lord coming forward and with the way being made open for him. But we see, first of all, John with a voice in the wilderness. And there are times and there are seasons in the life of any church. There's times and seasons in the life of any believer. There are times and the times and the seasons are in the Lord's hands. And in recent times we may have experienced as a whole congregation, the Lord speaking to us as a whole body, a strong word. Maybe at times a word of meat, a strong word. A tough word that has come from the Lord. And here we see it speaking of John the Baptist, of how he came with a strong word. It asks this question, what in verse 7, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind. But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment. Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. The question comes, what were you coming to hear from John the Baptist? What were you coming to hear from the voice of God? Were you coming to hear a soft word? A soft word that would just bring peace and comfort and would be an easy word. Is that what you came to hear? And it says, also, did you come to see a reed shaken with the wind? A word that would be easy? Or did you come to hear a word that was direct and strong and would reach into your hearts and your souls? And this is what John the Baptist came. He came as a voice in the wilderness. A voice that says, prepare the way of the Lord. And in order for the Lord Jesus to come, and in order for him to come and minister in power, in order for the church to be filled with the glory of the Lord, first of all, you need the voice of John the Baptist. It always precedes the ministry of the Lord Jesus. It asks the question in verse 17. It says, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. The picture is of them playing the pipe, and the ones around about not responding to that responding and dancing and John the Baptist. And then it says, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he had a devil. They were expecting John the Baptist to come as one who would just give nice words, but he didn't come like that. He came as a voice. He came as a prophet. He came to speak into the situation. He came as one who would speak a powerful word into the midst. And it was a voice. It was a word that said, prepare the way of the Lord. It was a strong word. But it was necessary in order to prepare the way for the Lord to come and come and minister. First of all, the way had to be prepared. And it's the same with us today as a church. First of all, the word had to come. The word that was strong. The word which was not of a word of soft clothing. A word that wasn't as a reed shaken. A word that wasn't just responding to what we might desire. But it had to be a strong word, because it was the voice of the Lord speaking. It was coming from the Lord himself. And that's what was necessary. It was necessary for that to come. And so when we ask ourselves, why was there this strong word that came in recent weeks? It was because it was preparing for what the Lord was going to do. And then it speaks of the wonderful ministry. And this is what it's all about. This is what it's all gearing towards. This is all, what it's all pointing forward to. It's all pointing forward to the ministry of the Lord Jesus and what he will do. It says, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. That is what happens when the way is made, is free of obstacle. That is what happens when the way is made straight. The Lord comes and visits in glory and in power. It's a wonderful thing when the Lord comes and meets his people. You see, it talks about John the Baptist being in prison. His ministry had finished. His time had finished. That was done. And that was, he'd served that work of preparing the way for the Lord Jesus. And then Jesus says, now, I am the one that was foretold. I am the one, and now in your very midst are things happening. In your very midst, the things that you had been preparing for, the voice that came in the wilderness, prepare the way, that is now being fulfilled. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Suddenly, those who have been walking about blind, and blind to the truth of the Lord Jesus and the glory of him, suddenly their eyes are opened and they're seeing. And suddenly the lame are walking. Those who had no strength, who were as it were backsliding, suddenly they're now walking. Suddenly those people are cleansed, they're healed, they're restored, the deaf are hearing, the dead spiritually and physically are raised up. It's the poor having the gospel. Those in need are having the gospel preached to them. And it says, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. People coming in, people being saved. It's wonderful to see, but it's all had to, first of all, there had to be the voice in the wilderness. First of all, there had to be the prophetic voice. First of all, there had to be the strong word. First of all, there had to be the reed that was not shaken. First of all, there had to be the camel's hair, as it were, of the clothing of John, the word that was tough. That, as it were, prickled. That it got, that touched our skin and caused that trouble. And first of all, it had to come because the way had to be made for the Lord Jesus to come in. And it says that just as with John the Baptist, they wanted a soft word and an easy word, and then rejected it. But then it speaks of the Son of Man, and it says of him, it says in verse 17 of the passage we read, we have mourned unto you and you have not lamented. And then going, describing that in verse 19, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. You see, first of all, they want to want them to respond by dancing. First of all, they want. First of all, they're saying, "We don't want this strong message that's coming from the Lord." And then, when the Son of Man comes in, and he does his work, and he does something glorious, and he's ministering amongst the needy and doing extraordinary things, and life from the dead, they then say, "Ah, but the Son of Man came eating and drinking." And they say, "Behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber and a friend of publicans and sinners, never satisfied." But you see, the reality is that first of all you have the strong message and the tough message. But then the Lord Jesus comes in, and we have to be careful that in seeing God do mighty things, then we see it for what it is, and do not say, "Oh, but we want something different." Because so many revivals, so many works of God, so many times where Jesus has done glorious things, there have always been those who have said, who have not wanted to see those things. Always have been. In some of the greatest revivals, there have been people who have been unhappy. In the Welsh revival, you may find this extraordinary to believe, but in the Welsh revival, there were people who were questioning whether it was a move of God. There were people who were looking on and saying, "This is not God." In the great move of the early Pentecostal churches in the early 1900s, there were many looking on and saying they were of the devil. They were saying they were of the devil, and it's an extraordinary thing. But this will happen time and time again. Now, as we're taken through that period of the voice of the prophet, of the tough word, of the strong word, of the word of meat, and we're taken through to see the new thing that we're beginning to see, and that has been prophesied in the past and has come from this pulpit, as we see that, it will be Jesus, and it will be all about Jesus, and it will be Jesus presencing himself. And when Jesus is moving and it just revealing himself, all of these things are just going to naturally happen. It is going to be the lame walking, it is the blind receiving their sight, it is lives being changed and restored. And the way had to be made open. And the way had to be made free of obstacle in order for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to enter in. And then when we see him come in, we have to see it for what he is really doing and see him. But then I want to then apply this final part really to and see how we are to respond. And it's a verse that is a strange verse in a way. Verse 12 says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." The people who are going to enter into this, the people who are going to enter into the fullness of this, who are going to really respond and see all the fullness of what the Lord Jesus is doing, the people who will enter into all the reviving work, that will see Jesus in all his glory and see him reigning as king and see him changing lives, the people who will see that are the ones who enter in and take the kingdom by violence. And I'm not talking about physical violence, but it will be people who are zealous. It will be people who press in. I want to remind you and make you cast your mind back to that period of time before you were saved. Now, for many of you, that period of time before you were saved, there was a real earnestness in your heart to get saved. There was an awareness of your sin, and there was a cry that came from your heart that I've got to be cleansed. And I've got to be right with God. There was a period of time, it may have been a very short period of time, or it may have been a longer period of time. But for many, there was that period of time where you were really earnest. You said, I've got to be cleansed. I've got to be right with God. There was that zealousness within your heart. And those that enter into the kingdom, and all that the Lord has for them, are those that really press through and say, we have got to see this happen. We are going to be zealous in prayer. We're going to be zealous in catching hold of the Lord Jesus. We're going to be zealous in seeing him do that work. It says, now the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. It shows all that compassion, all that passion, all that enthusiasm, all that zeal, and says, oh, we just want to see the Lord Jesus. We want to see him coming in as the King of Kings. We want to see him reigning. We want to see him changing lives. We want him more than anything else. And that is what it's that cry is to us. There's this forsaking all, a laying down all, and pressing through to the Lord Jesus, that he would come and meet with us. That is what is the great need of the hour. Yes, there has been that time where we may feel as if we've had many strong words, but it was necessary. It was necessary for the preparation. And that voice still may need to be heard in our hearts, that preparation for the Lord really coming. But we can also say that when he comes in all his glory and all his power, he will be doing a glorious thing and a new thing. It is also true that in the passage that we read in Mark's Gospel, it says that John the Baptist was the voice crying in the wilderness, and it was preparing the way. And he said, I baptize with water, but there is one coming after me that baptizes in the Holy Spirit. One of the great things when the Lord Jesus comes in glorious power is the great baptism of the Holy Spirit. The flooding of people's hearts with the Holy Spirit, of rivers of living water filling and overflowing the hearts of the people, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in great abundance. You see, when the Lord Jesus comes in, he brings with him the Holy Spirit, because he is the great giver of the Holy Spirit. And we can expect, when the Lord Jesus comes in, we can expect the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the two coming together, the Lord Jesus coming in, miracles taking place, lives changed, souls saved, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it's as you fix your eyes upon the Lord Jesus as the giver of the Holy Spirit, you'll be the recipient of the Holy Spirit. It's getting your eyes upon the Lord Jesus as the giver, and seeing that he is generous in his giving, and he delights to give, that you'll be the recipient of the Holy Spirit. But first of all, again I say, first of all, there has to be the voice of one crying in the wilderness. The wilderness, that's speaking of a place which is not right. The wilderness is always speaks of a place which shouldn't be. Throughout Scripture, it's a place that shouldn't be, because God's purpose is always that the place should be fruitful. It should be full of an abundance of good things, abundance of his goodness, abundance of life. And so wherever there is a wilderness, it means there is something lacking. And that's why John the Baptist, he was a voice crying in the wilderness, and he comes to prepare the way. You see, we can look, and we can actually be very grateful. We should be encouraged that the words that we've heard in recent times. We should be grateful, we should be thanking the Lord, because we should be seeing it. Ah, well, if we've heard a strong word, then it means that he's preparing the way for his grace and mercy in abundance. It's preparing the way. Let us not be those who ask only for soft raiment. Let us not be those who ask for a reed that is shaken with the wind. Let us not be ones who play the pipe and ask that we might hear just a sweet response. But rather, let us be thankful that first of all we had that strong voice and heard it. And then let us have that expectancy within our hearts that the Lord will come and visit us, and Lord, and that he will bring in the backslider. We can have that expectation when the Lord manifests his glory in greatness, that the backsliders will be rushing in, because they will find a place that's an oasis, not a wilderness, but an oasis, a place of living water, that the unbeliever will rush in and be turning to the Lord Jesus, because they will find life from the dead. There is a season for all things. There is a season and a time. There is a time for the strong word. There's a time for the voice, the prophetic John the Baptist type voice, if I may put it that way. There's a time for that. There's a time for pressing in to the kingdom of heaven and taking it with violence, taking it with force, being zealous and pressing through to the Lord Jesus. There's a time when the Lord Jesus comes and visits his people in great glory. And what we need more than anything in this day, as a fellowship, as individuals, is to discern the times and seasons. And we have to discern, just as we discern the times and the seasons, and the Lord told us to discern the times and the seasons, expecting the Lord's return. So there needs to be that discerning of the times and seasons of a church and what the church is going through. And there is that discerning of what an individual church is going through. Another church cannot look on another church and necessarily see what they're going through. We can't look at what the Lord is doing in another church and how he's moving in them and what he's doing amongst them. We've been called as a fellowship here in Winslow, and he is saying, discern what I am doing amongst you. Discern and do not reject. Do not reject what I am doing. Do not say, they said, John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. They rejected John and his voice. And then the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber and a friend of publicans and sinners. You see, they even rejected the Lord Jesus. And we can even query when the Lord is doing great things and a new thing amongst his people. Let us discern the times. Let us discern the seasons. Let us have our eyes fixed upon the Lord Jesus. Let us press in. Press in to the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And finally, I want to just say, well, what is the kingdom of heaven? What is the kingdom of God? What is it to press through to the kingdom of God? It's Jesus himself. In Mark's gospel, it says the kingdom of God is near. It says in Luke's gospel, the kingdom of God is within you. It's speaking of Jesus. That's what it is to press through. That's what it is to take the kingdom by violence. It's to take hold of Jesus himself. And that's what the kingdom of God is. That's what the kingdom of heaven is. It's the rule of God in our hearts. It's not simply just obeying the commandments, but it's taking hold of Jesus, so that Jesus is filling our hearts. It's Jesus filling the life of the fellowship. And he is taking his rightful place, and he is the one ruling. Let us be those who press through unto Jesus.